That's what that grass tree is for. The grass tree Yeah, but what action is being taken then to prevent cars parking?
The action is we can't prevent cars from parking except.
Well, why wasn't it made wider, sir?
Except where there's double yellow lines. Those double yellow lines that are coming round the corners. If people are parked by those double yellow lines on either side of the grass screed, because those double yellow lines count for the whole way of the verge and the pavement. If they park either side, then the district council can come along and fine them.
I was told that
there's only yellow lines one side.
Yes.
So they're going to park on the grass verge.
I mean, we cannot solve all the problems. People, unfortunately, are people. What we can try and do is do the very best we can. That's what we tried to do there. What we're going to say, when we've just said what we're going to do at the end, is ask you questions and ask you what you think, what else is it you think we can be doing, but what we need is at least 3 months to actually bed in what has happened.
Yeah, excuse me, Sue.
Yeah.
The majority of the people live on the estate, and not against the children, but they were against the sight of this school.
Absolutely, but it's
and
here.
We went through all that process, which was an utter total waste of time, because it was a done deal for the big. Now you're thinking about access problems. Hang on.
We used to have a car parking for access at a meeting at St Wilfrid School 3 years ago.
Can we just try and have a meeting so that we can explain to you what we've done, what we've tried to do, and so that you can come back to us with the things that you have grumbles about? But can we have it's no good just coming and crying. The school is there. I think you will all remember that when I called for meetings before the school, the planning came even anywhere near being looked at. I called for public meetings. We had two public meetings. There were public meetings that I called for the officers to explain what was happening. And yes, there was a huge no, we don't want it. And there would be at any stage. A huge no, we don't want it.
But are you
supposed to be ignored then?
I am not.
So why are you being ridden of a roughshod?
And can I just say that I'm not just here to represent you, I'm here to represent a three quarters or a quarter, more than a quarter of Burgess Hill.
Okay, so, okay.
Also the rest of West Sussex. Also the rest of West Sussex. In my capacity as that, I do a lot for children. I had worked with Newham School before I became a county councillor, while I was still a district councillor, and while I wasn't even a councillor. I worked with Newham School and knew just how bad that school was and how bad Court Meadow was. There was no question that new school needs to be built somewhere. Actually, from a personal councillor's point of view, it would be lovely if it's to be built in somebody else's area. And as a politician, I could have stood there in front of you and said, right, I'm going to say no to this. But as a person, I knew that me saying no to it would neither do any good whatsoever, because I've also done planning, both at university and as a councillor.
I understand that. But when I put... Why is the decision to place the school, taken to place the school, in a busy residential area that only has two schools on the campus, when there is council-owned land next to the triangle that was earmarked for community use, and that would have taken all the pressure away from these roads? And that was suggested at the time, and it was completely poo-pooed, purely because someone, mainly people who don't live around here, have made the decision to build the bloody thing here.
There isn't
enough land
there. There is plenty of land here.
There's plenty of land here.
There is plenty of land here, because it would never have been built.
But there isn't plenty of access. There isn't plenty of infrastructure. This is far too busy a location for this facility.
In your opinion, and I should imagine...
Do you have to live in this one?
I haven't,
yes, in my day. No, that isn't on this one. I live on Chantilly Road, just by the entrance to London Lane. Now, I am one of those poor people that most of them can't even get off my drive because it is parked across. If I can get out of my drive, I can't see up and down the road to get a pull out safely because there are vehicles parked both sides. People are ignoring the double yellow lines and parking on the grass verges in the way. Nothing is being done about that. Now, you can say, living over in the middle lane, that you appreciate. You don't appreciate, because we are the people that are sitting here living this nightmare and have been for 2 years, and all because no one bloody listened to a thing that any of the residents actually said. If it was overwhelming, no. If the people that were elected to represent us actually represented us, they would have found another location, and they could have found another location.
They would not have found.
Absolute rubbish.
They would not have found another location. There is
no, because the done deal was to put it here, regardless of what we thought.
The
deal never happened. Now, why can't we be allowed to finish? We were consulted on this over 2 years ago.
I suggest, Holmes, that if you keep your voice down and keep calm about things, we can have a brief...
Keeping calm has got us absolutely nowhere.
I'm here to answer your questions.
Okay. 7 weeks ago, we went to a meeting and asked Councillor Moore questions about Chancery Road. Do you know what our reaction was? We're not here to discuss this. We will not discuss it tonight. As on our own turf. Okay. We were promised a meeting within 2 weeks. It has taken 7 weeks. That is what you lot think of us.
Okay, could I suggest something? We keep very calm. This is what we're here to do tonight. Just talk about the situation from the fall. To find out what the problems are, this is what
we tried looking forward 2 to 3 years ago, and no one took any notice of us.
Excuse me, we raised all the issues, not to be difficult, not to be against the needs of the children, but because the residents of this area, and Zilla Burgess here remembers, the battle where London Mead was built, and the residents accommodated that, they accepted all of that without complaining, and were absolutely shocked when the third school was proposed. When this school was built, Oak Meads, in a small town, with a substantial playing field, and now that it's a large town, it has three schools, it is difficult to express all the issues that were raised, not to be difficult, but the discussions that are coming now are discussions that we said it's going to cause this, this, and this. And it is embarrassing, and I know that I wouldn't like to be standing in your position because I know you've got to live with what we've got now. I nearly had a head on yesterday because now, with the cars parking on the grass street, I won't forget anyone, you cannot see what's coming, and I'm saying slowly that the car is going to hit. When the, I know you said give us 3 months, and we did say let's see how it plays down, but it's the fact that all the cars parking this road, it's going to be a one-way system, I think, to even work. And that has to
be, because we do need, we've got the report booked till 9 o'clock, okay? And we want to try and explain to you. And all those arguments have been put. Those arguments were put at those meetings. Officers listened, people listened. They didn't listen because the main car park for this school is not actually on the school site. The main car park for Woodlands, for this school, for Woodlands Mead School, is actually on Oakley's car park. It's in Oakley's car park, not in this site. Okay? So you were listened to. However, at planning, when it came to, because this comes down to planning. It all comes down to planning. And planning is not just controlled by the officers at County Council. It is actually controlled by whatever government happens to be in at the time. And the reasons why you didn't want it were not planning reasons that the planning officers could accept. And so the planning went ahead. And I have, you know, I'm sorry, and what I did, because I thought it was the right thing to do, was not lie to you and say, yep, yeah, I'm going to say no to this, and it'll be all right, she'll all go for me again, it'll be really great, however, you're still going to down or get it. Because yes, you were going to get it, because there was no planning reasons, absolutely none, why it could not happen. If the county councillor had to buy land as well as build a school,
then there would be a consequence abroad. The county council will not buy land to build schools when they actually have got educational land that is no longer needed for educational use.
Why?
Can I say to you,
yeah,
it's not going to get better. Unfortunately, it's going to get worse.
No, but can I say something?
Thanks for that.
The only thing that I've got to say is that the traffic orders are now in place. They haven't been sealed, and they will be sealed next week. And that means that after next week, the officers and the officer from the district council, traffic officer from the district council, and police will be able to go around and put a sticker up, and put a fine on. Anybody that is parked on those yellow lines.
It would have actually been nice for the residents to actually be given notice when the yellow lines are going down.
Yes.
I woke up early one Sunday morning thinking that my son had put something in the oven and the house was burning down. And it was
people
putting down
the
lines down.
Those people down the cul-de-sacs were notified about that work. Dubbing other lines is not something...
We weren't.
I think you worked well.
Not on a Sunday morning
at 7:30.
Can I say that I agree our contractors worked on Sunday morning? We will take that back, but I certainly didn't know our contractors worked on Sunday morning. That's the But it is not something that the county council does, is notify people when those lines are going down, because it is presumed that actually the lines are not going to be of disturbance to you. It's a quick job.
But the material affects people's lives.
But we will take that back. We will take that back because I'm, Sunday morning, that is working, I'm staggered.
The lady, Molly
Harris. What I want to know is what is going to happen to the local bomb that comes down at 5 to 9 from the town and goes at 8:45 from Tesco on to this estate. If there's loads of traffic, it's not going to be able to get through, is it?
Yes. One of the reasons why the lines have gone down is so that the buses can actually get through. We do listen.
Go through the process and ride roughshod over the residents.
If we just went through the process.
Another thing is, if the people on your committee were living at that cul-de-sac where this is built right behind, would they like to live there? Would they school here?
That's so hypothetical. I've said before, I live in Wycombe Way, and we have 3 schools near us. If you live near a school, there are.
Yes, but it's right behind their gardens. We're losing prices on the houses because the school being built here. People are not buying them or having to do the 5,000.
I'm living next to the swimming pool.
I've got a lady in my teacher there.
Basically, I was under the impression that the yellow lines opposite the cul-de-sacs was for no parking there, so when the coaches arrive for this school, can pull out, because then there's no cars there. This is why they've been cutting the corners, and all the grass verges and everything were all cut up, mud, everything. So the yellow lines, I was under the impression that that is what that was for. Not to let people pull in and get the bus by, but you see, the problem is now, is because we've got the yellow lines just by the cul-de-sacs, and then you can park. Yep, I can appreciate that with the lorries, with the coaches coming out, they can swing round. But there is absolutely nothing the other side of the road to stop people parking. So you're going to have cars on the left, you're going to have cars on the right, you're going to have cars on the grass verge. You come to the end of the cul-de-sac to turn left or right, you cannot see a thing.
And same coming the other way.
This is what is worrying us. Yes.
Can I say, that's what the Missoula line is for. In the Highway Code, what it says is, you shall not park on corners as you're coming out of the junction. You will not park on corners for so many yards, I don't know how many yards it is. And that's what the yellow lines that enforce in the Highway Code. So that
but nobody's can... ever parked there anyway. Not on the corners.
Except for the builders. I actually drove down the other day, and there is somebody still parking where the yellow lines are now down on the Rascot screed, just by those junctions. They are still doing that, and I've seen them. And it's, you know, it's either a resident or a commuter. What I'm saying is that next week, when that seam has been done for those yellow lines, then the officers will not go in and find those people, and that should stop that.
Yeah, but there's nothing to the other side. There's absolutely nothing to say you can't park there. But we had a car the other day that was parked on the going from Queen's Crescent down to Chanctonbury on the very last cul-de-sac, the entrance to London Mead, where the yellow lines came round the corner on the right-hand side. There was a car parked there all day. Now, as long as I've lived in Chanctonbury Road, we have never, ever had cars park on that right-hand side. And it was a nightmare. You should have seen the buses on that. They couldn't get through. But there's nothing there.
What we've said, what hopefully we're going to agree tonight, is that we will give these things, the things that we put in place, we'll be given 3 months to work. If they're not working, then we will have something else. But we have to give things time to work and people time to understand that that can't happen. Because if he was parked dangerously, then again, the police can do them. And that will be happening more as those yellow lines.
But are they going to be round in the mornings and the afternoon?
We are asking to be round before. They have been there before, and we will be asking them to do that again. But as they keep telling me, how many schools have they got? They can't be everywhere, but yes, they will be doing it again.
On the entrance to London Mead and Woodlands Mead, those verges, I didn't take a photograph, but the lorries are driving over the bus verges. So can we put some bollards?
I don't know. I'm just talking to Tim and asking him what hard structures we can put in to help.
I think this is a good opportunity. On the inbox, I suspect some people have actually contacted me at some point the issues that we're putting here. I've been one of the officers working with the developers in trying to resolve some of the issues that have been brought towards me on a daily basis. I understand it's going to be a bit of a lot of time up here. I've come in, if you like, in the last year as a new team to understand the people's needs. And that's bottom line. We want to listen to what you've got to say and work with you to resolve some of these issues. As Sue said, it's here, so we now have to try to work with you. And that is the bottom line. This is why we're here today. And as I said to the gentleman, I just feel if we keep it calm and try and understand what we all want, we will go out and do what you want. Or if it's not practical, we will explain to you why we can't do this. That's what we're here to do. Now, the lady's point, good point, people still parking on verges. This is a main problem we have around Burgess Hill. We stop at one point, they go to another point. And as you rightly say, yeah, that's what's happening, but it's not just here, it's other places. So we're looking, if you like, to bring verge markers, which are 18-inch high posts. You might scoff, you might laugh, to say a lorry will run over them. Yes, they do. So we go to the next measure. Put trees in. Why not plant a tree? Let's get some trees around here. Let's get some green back into the place. Sorry, but we will look at these things. But as I say, it's at the point that we are looking to resolve some of the issues.
Make it slippery. Yes. Okay, I've got the gentleman
at the back.
Let me say, Dan Tracker at the place, the reason you don't have the grass streets is because the grass got mucked up. Yes. That's because when you've got the buses coming through and you're head on with the bus can't reverse back, so the only choice you've got is to go up onto the verge.
Yeah.
Okay, you've overcome the problem with the grass streets, and I hear what the other people are saying, but if you're going to start bollarding it, restricting that access onto that area, then you've just created a scenario whereby no one can go anywhere.
But we are asking you tonight, you wouldn't let that answer me. Good point. Whatever work as a highway, you pay for bollards right in the verge. It's not a problem. It sounds dumb, but it does work. But if you don't think it's going to work, come up with suggestions and tell us how to resolve these issues.
But if you live in a light area or put in there an area which is, say, double yellow line, an area maybe 20, 30 metres long, yeah, where you can pull in and therefore allow the bus or whatever traffic to pass through, and then you can then pull out and carry on your way.
I totally agree. And that's what we want to hear today, to try and find out what we can do. If it's feasible, we will go back to the right people and the design team. Is it possible? And that's the question we want to ask.
I don't understand why that wasn't looked at beforehand with the people you've got, looking at how road layouts are done, before you spent the money on the grass street.
Sue's saying it was looked at.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. That was the first thing I asked for before the bus street. I asked for, I don't think it was been down Denham Road, but down Denham Road they have this way part of the car, it's probably not and that's what I was trying to get at the same time. Then the officer said, no, we couldn't do it, and I couldn't find the email, and I have asked if officers will look. That actually, I understand there is something under that verge that, no, they can't do things like that because it becomes too hot. And so I think this gas, well, we know this gas, but I think this gas, water and all the rest of it, if that's the case, then, but I haven't got that email, so I can't swear to you that that's what I was told. But I asked for that, and the
answer is not that. Each verge is there for a reason. Has essentially undertaken from that, be it gas, electric, whatever, BT. Now, the issue being, we understand, each time a vehicle passes on this verge, you're pushing the verge down, you get very close. Most of the statutory undertaking is supposed to be 18 inches under the ground. Good old-fashioned 18 inches. I don't know the millimetres, sorry. That's the situation we have. Continuously run out of a verge, we'll then get to the point where we get very close to something. So we have to try and stop him from doing so. Because if you don't, what you'll have is a situation, your power goes out, your BT.
Yeah, I absolutely understand what you're saying. But if you look at it back from the beginning, then if that's the case and the services aren't deep enough, then let's drop them, because whatever happens, you're going to get people going across the verge. And if you restrict the verge, then you're going to get a problem with the buses and another learning traffic coming through there. Yeah. Well, there's nowhere to go. And the other day, when it was park up and laugh. And there's other people who have to get out very quickly from various services, as well as to get access. And I parked up and I must have been there 20 minutes, and it was funny to watch.
Yeah, but as I say, myself and my colleague coming down there, I got pulled by the bus.
The drivers just sit there.
We're here to help, to listen, to try and resolve. And that's, we're not going to resolve everything, we're going to try the best we can. Do what
they might consider
believe.
Right. Let me tell you which lady people I've got in a moment. I've got the lady in front of the gentleman who was speaking, I've got the lady in the straw t-shirt, I've got the gentleman in the red, and then the lady here. So we take those and then we go again, because otherwise we won't get to win. So the lady in front of the gentleman just spoke.
Yeah. I think the whole chunk of the road is a bit of a slant getting them out with all the buses and the cars. But another worry for me is the speed. You know, you tuck in between cars, there's a
mother coming down at 50, 60 miles an hour and you're trying to get out.
That one's not doable.
It's, it, you know, can, is there right. such a thing? Can we put speed locks in? Can we... Is there any way?
I had come into my fences one year and a gentleman in a slipped up car come hurling straight out in front of me from a side junction. I've just experienced it myself tonight. Now, he had a clear run all the way down, okay, because the car pulled it. Okay, it's looking after your area if you like and live in this area. You guys know who these problem people are. And speed, you know the object. That guy stood out tonight. There's no doubt about it. You know who's the problems of the speeding. Now we're trying to work with the police and understand. This is what we're here to do.
But people come down Chantonbury Road to cut off all of the traffic lights and the other way from Tesco. So we don't know anybody.
Have the lady waiting here in the striped t-shirt.
On that latter subject that you were talking about, I took to take that first, I've got 3 points to do. The problem with speedy motorists down Chantonbury Road was solved brilliantly some 3 or 4 years ago, maybe, when the police put temporary lines across the road. I don't know what they're called, but they were speed. Speed what?
Speed counters.
Speed counters. And it all went quiet, because it got known by the chappies who do that. And you're right, I guess people do know who they are, but you try telling a teenager not to do something. But the police can, and it went and it's been quiet for some considerable time, certainly at the top where I live.
Okay. What we can actually do, again, we will look into that situation. Yeah, so when the last speed count was done, then myself and Drew will put it forward then for another speed count.
Right.
To find out exactly how much speed we're talking about.
Is somebody taking it?
Can I just say that's easy. It's actually put down by the county council. It wasn't put down by the police. It was put down by the
council.
And it's work. Absolutely. We do work. And the register we got on it, unfortunately, was 28 miles an hour. That was it. So that means that we will not do anything about it because everybody, not everybody,
and the people who were speeding got to know about it and stopped. So can that be put down as a suggestion to try again?
It definitely can be put down.
Right. And, okay. Point number two. Point number two, the L drivers. I thought I heard at a meeting somewhere that the driving people have been approached to not use Chantonbury Road as part of their L driving teaching and also the exam itself.
Yes,
at one stage it was the exam itself. So what's happened with that?
And that has been agreed. It's not to use it. It's not to use it in the times of the schools. And it's for the schools all over Burgess Hill.
Right.
We can't ask them not to use it. They've got every right to use it. We can ask them, but they won't take any notice. But what we can ask them, and what we did ask them, and what we got out of them, is that they won't use it, and they won't use roads that are near the schools when the traffic from the schools are there. They won't use that.
When you take a test, Is the test not conducted by something to do with the council? So it is reasonable for a test to take place in a street like Chantonbury Road?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's where they will take this.
Do you tend to do some public highway?
can that be number two suggestion, that you approach them again and repeat the difficulties of this happening.
All we can do is that the test people will do that for us and will tell we don't want any tests done. However, what we can't do is we can't enforce the driving schools. They've put notices up asking them not to do it, but that's all they can do. They can't enforce it. We can't enforce it.
Now, the third and final point for me, at least at the moment, is the car park in Crescent Road, at the top by the railway station. I'm sorry, I sometimes walk up to get on the train, and it's virtually empty. Now, not only is it empty, but because it's hard to use anymore, there are, excuse the expression, bollards halfway across it, so that where it was full at one stage, for people with reasonable parking charges getting on their trains, or even, I have to say, going to work in the shops in Burgess Hill, it is virtually empty now. And of course, the people come along, and we know, you know, you can tell there's a chap in the street, whatever, there, and there's a chap with the Wilkinson's jersey on. So
we on our houses,
outside
our houses. All
done. Yes, and on the Burgess.
The district council's just left. It's the district council that sets the car parking charges.
Well, reduce it, and they might park there. So they might allow that. Or make it free if they even want to take it.
There was a suggestion at one of the other meetings that maybe people who actually worked in the town could be provided with vouchers by Wilkinson's or Waitrose or whoever.
Even by annual Wilkinson's.
Sorry?
Even by annual car parking.
But their employer could be encouraged to, particularly Waitrose, who are supposed to be doing work, to provide, and the council could accept a lower price. Could that be written down as well in the minutes?
I want to say something about speed.
I do.
Do you want to say something about speed?
Yeah, no, it's just definitely an issue, really, that while we appreciate issues about speeding. One of the things that my role is working with the community, and one of the things that I just noted here was probably coming back again here, not for a meeting, but to work with the Neighbourhood Watch, whether it's Neighbourhood Watch or whether it's the Resident Association, to try and put in place some of the measures that, say, take for instance, dealing with the Leonard drivers, that would be a community thing as well, where we could actually involve or engage the driving instructors, respecting our own community here as residents. And one of the other things is also getting in touch with the Road Safety Action Group. They come here as the police together with the fire rescue. They come in here, if it's possible, see whether they could actually do what they call... Yeah, it's kind of a roadshow, really, which actually looks at the speeding within the area. And most of the time, of course, there are some perceptions that there could be speeding. It's possible that there are speeding issues. But most of the time, you'll find that within that operation, residents within the local area will be caught speeding. So we want to bring that in this area as well, see whether it could actually work for us. So my role is just coming back again here to work with the locals themselves. If we are to set up a neighborhood speed watch, we can actually do that, where we get some high visibility vests on a certain day, we carry our gun and check out the speeds on this part of the road.
And you missed the point of people thinking about the car parking charges. I know that you know how controversial that is, and I just wonder whether your role as a district council, whether you could take that back to district.
Yes, of course. And the fact that a season ticket is very cheap, it's just that people from the other side of town don't want to pay it and they just want to park. And how do we enforce no parking on pavements? If we had legal policing, that would actually mean that most of us need to do the job in order to be there just to pull over when they need it. They can't pull over because it's full of vehicles.
Thank you.
I've got
the gentleman in the red shirt and then the two ladies in the front.
The point earlier about the buses and coming here to head for the bus. My question is about the buses. Is I've lived in Burgess Hill all my life, and actually lived in Canterbury Road all my life. And I remember the buses starting and wondering, knowing why we've got buses coming out here. We've got them, so we've got to live with them. Why do they have to be so large? Because I come face to face with a bus virtually every night after home from work with about two or three people on it. Now, in my mind, you don't need a bus that travels the streets of London, which are quite wide things, avenues, stuff like that. Down, this is a residential road, down this road. Can we please look at asking the bus company to produce smaller buses that can actually pass with two cars and itself on that road? Yeah?
Okay? And the other thing is, can I just say, this is the second time I've been told that if we do a study on speeding, it's residents, the local people that are usually the ones doing the speeding. I find that quite bloody offensive, to be perfectly honest with you. Most of the people I ever see speeding down my road are people I've never seen before. Okay? They use it as a cutthroat. Okay? So that's the other thing.
What's going to be worse now is the yellow lights that you can actually got, you can literally zoom down there, or somebody coming quick, pulling towards the yellow lines are, whereas before the yellow lines were there, at least the traffic was slightly slower because you had to think, I've got to pull in, and now you've got more of a gap that you can sort of speed down there and then pull in. There is going to be a fatality down here, and nothing will get done. Until someone dies. Now, I drive through Ditchling as well quite often,
and there's a school there, and I'm sure that there are speed restrictions down that school with either speed bumps or those curvy things.
Why can't we have them down here? All the points you've outlined, we are making those, and as I say, we are listening to what you're saying. Okay. That's the point that we will go back to the bus company, ask that question, what you just said. Why do you need such big buses? What's the reason? How many buses are we got coming through at this time? So we can take this back and ask these questions, and we will come back just so and give those answers.
Yeah.
The other point you were saying about yellow lines being in place is now causing a speeding issue. And I'm sorry if it offended you to the point of saying it's a local resident.
No, you're the second person that's told me. A policeman has told us that in a very, very similar meeting about a very similar thing.
Yeah.
And, sorry, that doesn't actually make me feel very happy when I know who's speeding down my road.
Can I point out, we do do a lot of speed checks with the local public, with the residents of a certain area. And what we would do is stand there and... We do ask the people when they come through, sometimes we have the police with us, okay, they will pull that person in, ask where they do. They do live within a radius of 3 miles. We need to do the speed checks. Okay, we will put the counters out, we will get the figures.
Yes, get the police to do this. That's the other thing.
To see where they actually live and where they're actually going and why they're coming that way.
If it's possible,
that would be
we can
a very good idea.
Could I just mention one little thing here in terms of us bringing back the counters? Because I'm just trying to manage the expectations here, because you might think we could just do this within 3 weeks, it's done. Unfortunately, at the present moment, we have having so much of a big backlog. So the only time where we are going to get some speed counters on the ground is not until next year. This is why we are thinking of coming up with other initiatives like road safety action, bringing the operation down.
Excuse me, we've had 2 years. What's been done? Why are we having this meeting?
We had this issue before.
It's the planning permission for the school being given on the election. Wouldn't you think you'd not want to either bridge over the water?
I certainly understand, sir.
I certainly understand
and appreciate your point, sir. I mean, the benefit that now we are now bringing in, of bringing back the counters, something that we can actually do, because the counters were done before, and the speed then was reported as 28, which is below the speed limits. So the data that we have at the moment is a 28. So it's us now revisiting that data and seeing whether it still adds up to what it used to be. And one of the things that we're thinking of, putting down the yellow line, the thinking behind is that it will cut down on speed, because we are having cars parked in certain areas, and the road itself, because if you're having cars parked in certain areas, it probably kills off the speed. But if that's not the point, this is where now we're actually looking at the speed counters and seeing whether it does work or not.
I wanted to agree with the person who mentioned car parking, with the prices that are so high that nobody bothers to use the car parks. It's lots of the car parks in the whole town. It's not just this one at the station. Although, obviously, it's commuters a lot in this area, because on a Sunday, when you go down Tankerbury, it's almost empty, which is lovely. The residents surely should have the first say, the first parking spot of the road. They live there, they need somewhere to put their cars. Even the one car people. Then, of course, the school users are going to be clogging up our roads all the time, and have been before we had three schools. Even Holmesdale, even Potter's Lane, have school parents parking there, waiting to get to their children to school. And that was where there were only two schools here. So it can only get worse. The learner drivers is another one which I agree with, and it's very difficult. And I think we're surely going to have a one-way system. I don't understand how they can, the yellow lines can just solve the problem. That's going to be nothing. It's useless.
I represent Victoria Ward and Castle, and there's a road, very congested road.
Can we just let Colin talk? Sorry, he's trying to...
There's a very congested road near Hassock Station, where the residents have asked. So the obvious thing is to have a one-way system. If you have a one-way system, it actually encourages people to go faster, because they're not going to be tempted to come in the other way. So there are drawbacks. The solution seems to be the right solution, but they all have snags. You've got to somehow find the best solution for that.
There is a 20-mile-an-hour limit during the school time.
Let me answer. In 2009, the lines that went down were a speed count for the speed safety zone that is in place in London in the road. They have advisory 20 markings. And the reason they're advisory is because it's a 30-mile-an-hour road. To bring it down to 20, we have to hit a certain criteria. And that limit is 27. Technically, we as a county should not have put those advisory 20s up. We made the call that where we have done it in other locations around the county, we have seen a minimum of a 2-mile-an-hour reduction where they are in place. It's not a lot, but it's a reduction. So that brings your 28 down to 26, we hope. So you have an advisory 20 out there, and you still have a speeding issue. There are things in place that we recommend to schools, to communities, and I sincerely hope that all of you are aware of this. It's called Operation Crackdown. Does anybody here not heard of Operation Crackdown?
He's saying clerical crap.
Operation Crackdown is a Sussex Police self-reporting. They know at Sussex Police we can't be everywhere all the time. Schools can't be everywhere all the time. If you have to see something to report it. You can't tell me they're speeding and me report it for you. You have to report it. It's a free service. They feed back to you after they take the report. So if you report something, and that's any antisocial driving behaviour, speeding, parking, driving on a mobile phone, anything like that, drug driving, drink driving, they feed back to you. It is a service that has been in place for 3 years, and where it's used, it works. So that is something that you, as the eyes on the ground here, who do you find them?
These seats need to be given to them, don't they? The waiters.
You
are comfortable. You are not. It's really uncomfortable. Yeah. There's no giving them.
It is something that I will ensure that we have a supply of leaflets.
May I just add that if I see somebody doing something that's really dangerous and driving, and I have done so, and I report it, if they've had three times that vehicle, they will actually track it down and impound it. And that has happened with some of our young speeding. So if you do see it, you report, and obviously they have the number.
It does work. They do feedback to you. You can do it either by email, directly speaking to someone, or by text. So the system is there for you as a community to use. So that is there to support that. But your school safety zone operates on school days. The only days it flashes when school's not in operation is inset days, because we program it to the county term dates. That flashes throughout drop-off and pick-up time. Though I must say, whenever I have visited these schools at those times, it is rare you'll get above 15 miles an hour, let alone 20. But it is there, the 20 mile an hour is there to raise awareness. And they have worked. So I'm a little bit sad that some people haven't noticed them, because there is one in each direction. They are yellow back signs, you have red surfacing on the road, and, you know, as a whole, they do make a positive difference. So that is your 20 out there.
It strikes me that since this housing estate was built in the 1950s, that basically everything's been added that's a benefit for the community at large. The people that have suffered are the actual people that live in that road and have gained very, very little. Yes, all right, my children might go to London Meads School, Oakmeads and other things. However, we've borne the brunt of everything that has gone on. You have invested in London Meads, you have invested in this place, but all that time, either local council, county council or district, nobody spent more than a few peanuts on the actual road that serves all the things you put in. What you need to do is actually give the residents a commitment that you will actually sit down, come up with some proposals that will probably cost a fair amount of money, maybe hundreds of thousands of pounds, tens of thousands of pounds, not the little bit that we do get put in to try and placate us at the end of each financial year. All well and good, but it's got to the point now where it needs a major design rethink. Something that incorporates the fact that you need to keep speeds down, and to keep speeds down you put in bends, chicanes, anything a la ditching. You need to look at the buses. Do we really have to have buses going through here? Because it strikes me that they're buses that are going from Burgess Hill to other towns. Well, they shouldn't be cutting through an estate to do that. The more chicanes and that you put in, yes, you might have to move services, but you've got to provide off-road parking as well. And we are fortunate that we do have a good old bit of width to the whole of Chanterbury Road. So there's plenty of scope to build a solution to the problems that we've been living with for the past 20 years that are progressively getting worse and that are progressively winding up the residents more and more and more. Because I think we've been very, very, putting up with things and not being overly vocal. We can appreciate you need stuff, but county and district need to actually put some serious money, serious design into the solution, not looking at a yellow line here and a couple of holy stones there. It's beyond that point now. I would like to see some decent proposals in the next 6 months that we can all look at. You know, nice drawings. You've got plenty of computer-aided design down there, and show us the commitment that, yes, thank you for putting up with all we have. Look, it's there now. We're going to come up with a solution once and for all.
We can say. I live at the same cul-de-sac as that gentleman there, and our road surface on that cul-de-sac is it's potholes. I used to live, before moving to Chanterbury, into my grandparents' house 17 years ago. I used to live in a private close in Lindfield. Private closes don't get obviously funded by county council, and the road surface was bumpy. This is a cul-de-sac which is meant to be run, owned by the county council, and obviously isn't, because the surface of the cul-de-sac is poor and has not been touched, resurfaced properly, and I mean properly, not, might have filled in the hole, but hasn't been totally resurfaced in at least 20, 25 years, I don't think.
Can I ask the local manager to answer? I have to say, more probability, it will be touched within the 20 or 25 years. As
first thing wasn't this board, it was actually St Andrew's board. And I had so many complaints about the potholes and all the rest of it, that I actually went to Hammersmith and bought the whole of the ward. Because I'd said to the cabinet member, the highways cabinet member, that I want something done about the potholes. They're not big enough, aren't your potholes? The reason why they're not big enough is because we've got concrete underneath, and those potholes only go down to the concrete and they don't go any further. If you care, I can't remember of the last council meeting, I wasn't at the last council meeting, but maybe the council meeting before, there was a huge laugh at that council meeting because I stood up and complained, well, my potholes, and I'm not the only one, there's potholes all over West Sussex like this, where they're not deep enough, so our highways officers cannot mend them because they're not deep enough. But there are actually some of them, and you should have seen St Peter's Road, which is inherited, 6 foot wide. And in St Peter's Road, it was like, you drove like this. It was appalling. Absolutely appalling.
What's that got to do with
it? It's done now, but it took ages to get it done. And when you're saying that no money has been spent, I'm afraid quite a lot of money has been spent. You may not think it, but quite a lot of money has been spent. One of the things we got in, fair enough, it's not on Chantilly Road, it is on London Road, but it's been put in is a crossing for the children using this school, London Mead School. And that crossing was put in to try and make sure that the children could actually get to school safely and walk. That crossing cost over £70,000. And it was for the benefit of the people in that estate and your estate. Those yellow lines, I haven't got how much it cost, but it's thousands. Not because the yellow lines cost, so at least they don't, but what costs the money is having to send all the work that needs to be done and the legal work that needs to be done to put them in. Thousands have been sent here. I have, as your councillor, asked, begged, that we actually have that speed, those speeding back. And it's been, no, we can't have it back. It's 28, and I have to say that there are other roads where it's much worse. We have two at the moment where it's much worse, and that's where they have to wait, and we'll have to wait for over 9 months for something to go down. The amount of money that we are spending on highways has decreased and decreased. Things only get done if there's a safety reason for doing them. And I have to say to you that when this planning application went in, the first thing I did was go to the highways people and to the planning people and said, what is it that we can gain down Canterbury Road because we've got a new school going in? We've got a new school going in. What is it we can get out of the county council because we've got a new school going in?
But you can spend £54,000 extending a playground where young people from the rest of the town comes to. My children used to come to the playground here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sorry. They won't go to the other playground now for their safety. They're intimidated.
That is a district council matter. So that's not a county council matter. The county council actually paid the district council, I can't remember whether it was £30,000 or £40,000 for our own line back because it's had a lease.
Okay.
I think that's completely ridiculous actually because it's all our money. You can see anything more ridiculous in all your life. But actually, the county council paid the district council to put a new play area in near here for you. What the district council decided to do with that money is up to your district council. You've got two district councillors here. But can I say also that I tried at that planning meeting. There is nothing in the planning documents, and a number of you have actually gone through those planning documents, and there is nothing about improving this road because there is only 130 children coming here and they will not be coming individually. They will be coming
in a couple of coaches, taxis, and minibuses. That means that under planning regulations, the county council has no business on spending your money on something that is not needed. So if it was a school elsewhere, then it wouldn't be needed. It's not, it's your money. The county council will only spend that money where it is needed to be spent.
So why is this school so big if it's only for 100?
Because it's for special children.
But then why is the council
being moved out there? Because Newcastle is still here because the children over 14 will be going to
spend the money when they have it first of all. When they have the money first of all, if they decided, yes, we're going to build a special school, it would have been up to the 19-year-olds, but because they've met Mr. Well and undernarmed, that's why
that's
the reason.
That's not correct. That's not correct. That is not correct.
Sorry.
The money came from that from the government, and there were strings to that money, and this school had to be up within 2 years or 2.5 years. And it was
I was care of governor. It was told that it would have been installed in 2008 at Newark House. It's now 2012.
At Newark House, you've been told on a number of occasions. When I have worked extremely hard trying to get money for you, and Jill will just speak to Jill about the amount of work I've tried to do to get money for Newark House. Okay, just ask her what Sue Knight's done to get
I've got the
I have to say to you that this is government money, not county council money. And strings
money.
It's our money.
It's our money.
I've got the gentleman
who captured it. If anybody's actually losing any filling in the posterior, there are some little chairs here if you want to know. But let the gentleman here talk, and then I'm going to hand over to him.
On another point, apart from the one I was going to mention, but when we met at the adjudicators meeting at actual Newark House, we were told it was not fit for purpose and it was going to be demolished.
It's been rebuilt. Newark House is being rebuilt at this point in time.
So that's another lie we've been told.
They are rebuilding it because it's not fit for purpose. It is not fit for purpose. So it is being rebuilt.
Can I just ask Penny, on a point you said about reporting speeding motorists and that, I actually reported a motorist was going too slowly on a main road, this is, and also other infringements, and the police said there was nothing they could do because I didn't take any pictures.
Use your mobile phone.
That I got hold of the Sussex Police.
Operation Crackdown is designed to...
But they can't do anything, can they? They've got to actually be there and catch them. It's no good us saying anything.
No, they haven't. You can only send them a letter saying, oh, you were caught going too far.
Publication called About Towns goes in every single household in those hills. I just wonder whether we could write an article, I know the latest one is just probably being about to be delivered, and whether we could write an article that would go into the next edition, and then people would find out about it.
Because everyone reads the About Town.
While I've got the floor, is there anyone here who's responsible for the yellow lines? Who actually was responsible for putting them down? Who decided?
The CRC.
So there's no one here that I can actually ask.
CLC.
Right.
The CLC.
Okay. There's two dangerous areas. The one coming down from Holmesdale Road to the entrance, and the one where Chantry Road meets Queen's Crescent.
Yeah.
Now, the yellow lines come out of the Queen's Crescent cul-de-sac, but they don't continue around the bend. So cars park on that bend, causing a major problem.
Both sides. and then the bus park.
And also, this hill coming down here, I'll reiterate what the lady said earlier, within 1 year there'd be a fatality out here, because that hill is a speed, well, it's obvious, you're coming down a hill, you put your foot down, and when you get to the entrance, cars are backed out there, and you come to a dead stop. So why are there not double yellow lines all the way down that hill to stop people parking there, and also rumble strips, which are not sleeping policemen, but they're a rough surface to stop cars speeding. I mean, that's so obvious, it's unbelievable. But so why were they not put in? There is a case.
Well,
it's obvious.
If there was a case, then they would have been put in. We have advisors what it is that needs to be done to sort out the problems.
So what are you going to do to stop cars speeding down that hill?
Nothing.
Nothing. So I'll repeat. You're looking to have a fatality out there.
We have hardly had any accidents at all down this road.
Yes. Don't speak to me.
I've seen three out there. I've seen three accidents outside there.
Very slowly,
and somebody went in the back of me. I'm going to
take Penny, and I now have to park on my lawn because I've got double yellow lines
out. Sorry, can I just, one more thing? When we had the adjudicators meeting at Newick House,
this gentleman has been very patient, and he's got one more point, and then we're taking Penny.
When we had the adjudicators meeting at Newick House, we were told that the county council had sorted out all the traffic problems before the school was built.
Yes. That's a great video, that is.
I have been working with all three institutions on this site to develop a joint tramcar. Now, I inherited this school following restructuring of West Sussex. Fergus Hill was not my area, and I've come into it, and it's eye-opening, Fergus Hill. And it's not just because you have a lot of problems, it's because you do things differently here. In Horsham, they would come along and slap a controlled parking zone on this road, and you would have a sign every 20 feet, and you would not be able to park anywhere. The residents in Horsham pay dearly because of commuter parking. And that is an issue out here. I've been backwards and forwards to the school quite a lot in the last year, at different times of day. My first visit, I had the wing mirror knocked off my car. My first visit. And it didn't get any better after that, and I was in my own car, not a ball car, because there wasn't one available, so I learned the hard way. The schools are aware this is going to be a big impact on them. They've put their joint travel plan together, and it's not complete, not by a long shot, because this school hasn't yet opened. And you cannot write a plan for something that isn't yet in operation. Because what people put on paper, what the planners put on paper, what people who are in charge of the motor put on paper, may not reflect what actually happens when the doors formally open. And on the other hand, we have resident parking, which you're all entitled to do. And then you have friends of residents parking who are dropping off at the school, which I've also seen happening, and I've been told about, we only park on our friend's driveway or in front of our friend's house.
it sets a precedent which then affects you all the time. When I came in and parked here today, there was a car double parked in the cul-de-sac coming into the school. If I was visiting the school as a parent and I saw that and I didn't know, I would consider that acceptable and I would go and double park on someone else.
Can I just say, the parents double park there before they start to park. There is always double parking there, and I think the people ready to live there for a second car are double park there because they believe, as all the parents do it, it's okay for them to.
Yeah, it is precedent.
Not the other way around.
People see it and it happens. Now, I suppose the first 25 years of my life living next door to one school with another school 300 yards up the road. When I first passed my driving test, one of the first things I did, because someone was blocking our driveway, was abandon my car in the middle of the road. I know it's frustrating, and that is where the Operation Crackdown really, really can help you. Even if it's just someone at the end of the phone to vent your feelings to. It also gives us at county a record of what is going on. The near misses that happen don't get reported, so they're not recorded. And that is why, in a lot of cases, it's only when there is a fatality or a serious accident that it looks like things are moving. Because we have not got any records at all of what has happened before it. Now, I've asked all three of these schools from September to keep a near miss book in their reception. If they have any form of near miss, it must be written in that book. I don't care if it's written in third hand by someone who phoned it in and the secretary writes it in. But without those records, we can't do anything. And then the police, when they come into the schools for their visits, or fire and rescue if they're doing something, they have something they can look at. If there was a fire at this school at peak time, it would be very difficult to get fire engines. You all know that, you all acknowledge it. And you speak to any parents who would say, yeah, if I saw a fire engine coming, I'd get out of the way. To where? You know, it's not a good location, but it's the location that you have. Now, with the current travel ban, it acknowledges the problem outside. It acknowledges that all the while we have parents accessing this school site, they are going to come. So what we need to do is manage the flow on site better to ensure that they come in and they go. They don't come in, park, spend 20 minutes talking to each other, or because there are three of them parked, somebody's then dropping off in the mouth to the school and then it starts going up the cul-de-sac. So from September, we will be monitoring the drop-off for London Mead. And if there is a real issue, if there are accidents because of the additional traffic coming in for this school, then the next step is to look at barriers for that entrance. Now, if we stop them coming on site, they will go elsewhere. And the first elsewhere they're going to go to is outside your houses.
Right.
And we don't want to do that, so we must manage the flow on site better. We do not want them parking on site. We want them to be able to drop and go, and as such, we want the drop off at the schools to be supervised. Now, if any of you are London Mead parents, in the new newsletter that comes out at the beginning of the term, there should be a request for parent volunteers who will be there in a high-vis jacket, and you will assist children getting out of cars. The car stops. The parents do not get out. The car stops. They're got out by supervising adults. Yeah? They are seen, watched onto the school grounds, and the car drives off. Children should always get out onto a pavement. I've been here and I've watched children get out into the road. Anybody working with the school should be CRV. It's not an orange. Every volunteer should be CRV.
Good luck being there. The whole process of CRV is so complex.
The CRV process from end of July has been streamlined, and as volunteers, it should take no longer than a week. So, the only time it's going to take longer is if we have insufficient data from the person or there is an issue.
London, we were originally told that, that all parents were to get a permit to park in the Queen's Crescent car park.
Yeah.
The way you're saying, you've not said that. So has that been abandoned?
No, no, that has not been abandoned. It's another option.
But
Queen,
not,
Queen's Crescent car
years.
Park. Do we have parents here?
Queen's Crescent car park.
Yeah.
It was cut in half.
Yeah.
Because of antisocial behaviour in the evenings.
Yes.
That's why it was cut in half.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the police or anyone else to enforce it. But we're obviously going to have the police to enforce the double yellow light.
To meet their parent, or the parent walks down. The issue with Queen's Crescent is persuading parents it is a walkable distance.
Working.
I am a working parent with two children, and I manage.
And what about the mums that come in the car with one child?
Yes. Yeah, those are the people that we are trying to reach. So the first step is to manage the on-site provision, because that is what is clogging up the first cul-de-sac.
There was some talk that they were going to be allowed to have 15 minutes free in the car park at the top of the road.
If the school has permits...
You don't see them. You don't see them walking Jimmy down the road.
The school has permits for anybody who wants to park in a car park. The school has the permits. The parent asks for the permit, they put it in their car. They will not have to pay. But we are reliant on parents working with us. I can't tell parents what to do. You as residents know, if you've encountered them at the bottom of your drive, you can't tell parents what to do. We are trying to work with them through the school. And we do that through the kids as well. From September, I will be going in to work with the school council on a newsletter. It's a newsletter aimed at stressing the message of considerate behaviour while travelling. It's not aimed at one thing in particular. There will be a highway quote in there, but it's going to be written by the children. Because without the children, we can't get the message through to the parents properly. Part of what we will be doing will be some posters. We've done it in other communities, and they like this. They're very simple messages. We run a competition in school, but it's a way of getting the message to every parent. Every parent gets that message. They go up on community boards, they can go up on the school site. In other locations, I have them out within the community on the road on lamp columns. Now, as a community, would you object to seeing those out on a lamp column?
No.
So that is something that I can very happily progress and get into place very, very quickly. But as a community, you have suffered quite a lot of signs, vans, parking going up. And this is a very, very It's not an easy way of getting the message across, but it's a way of getting the kids to, what's the word? Yeah, pester power. Pester power works all the time. If the kids know they can't park there and they're in the car with the parent, we hope the message will get through to them.
Why can't the children all get together and why can't we have a walking train?
Walking buses,
you know, yeah. All walking down the road in the morning so that the children can meet their friends and can see them and they can increase.
Walking buses do happen across county. They are normally community run by parents and they run to a set of guidelines. Now, county walking buses have a driver and a conductor and a certain amount of children. Now, the school has something which is slightly more informal than a county walking bus, called a walk once a week, which is normally on a Wednesday. Now, from September, I want the pupils to tell me if we can up that, because the school is telling me there is no interest from parents to support it.
I can't say that, I've never heard about that.
Yeah. I think there have been communication lacking.
Yeah. I mean, when you do the walk to school week, there is a marked difference in the amount of traffic around the
school. And walk to school week is our best case scenario. Walk to school week is what we want to see every day. But in order to do that, we need to get the kids and the parents on board. We're about to hit the autumn term where the weather distinctly goes downhill. Probably not the first 6 weeks, judging by the current weather, but from October onwards, the weather gets nastier and people find it much easier to get in their car. So car sharing is something that we need to really push hard as well. Now, I would love to be able to say you're not allowed on the school grounds unless your car is full. But it's impossible to do that because you'll have two people with one child in their car who will block the entire road. And you have to let them through. Once one's done it, they will do. So we are very, very much trying to work with parents. Once the school has been open, I will be back looking forward to doing things in the school with the kids. We will monitor the situation in the road. If you have a near miss, please report it.
Going back to your near misses, that's my question. Are you actually going to ask the schools, the heads of the schools or whoever does it, to actually put this in their newsletters so the parents of those children actually know? Because it's all very well telling us.
Yes, yeah. It will be in the travel newsletter
that will go out in the first half. If you get a newsletter, you will know.
Right. Again, we are reliant on parents reading newsletters.
Was that your question? Because I'll take you off my list.
Yeah, that was my question. Yeah.
It's not a done deal with their travel plan at the moment. There is a new path that's going in between Oakmeads and Woodlandmeads. And the timings for that path are timed around Londonmeads school times. And that path is going to be pushed very heavily, because if we can get people walking through there, we can get the cars off Chanctonbury Road.
Sorry, did you say that's going to be Londonmeads school times?
Yes.
So not Oakmeads school times?
There's a 5 minute timing.
Does that include after school clubs?
No.
No.
Oakmeads is very, very keen that the timings on that pathway are strictly adhered to, because they don't want their pupils having timing issues getting into school.
And is that this footpath that goes along here?
It's too far up in the building. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The school staff will have keys, and it will be locked at the end of each session, and they will put the times up on the gate at each end so that people using that path will be aware of when it's going to be open and when it's not.
So can they walk through the path to get to Oakmead?
Yes.
So
yes. 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 If you live in Chantry Road, your children can walk to Oakmead through.
Is it complete? Is it going to be open next week?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the timings will be strictly adhered to. So if your child is running late and they think they can shortcut it and the gates are locked, they're obviously going to have to go back. Now, it's not the end of it. We are also looking at other measures because obviously with the minibuses coming on the site, we need to make sure that everybody is moving safely. The barrier at the side as you came in will be down at school times. So at school times, vehicle movements from the car park at the side here will not happen. Unless there is somebody there to stop people crossing. So the children will be able to walk all the way along the path safely. Because when you're mixing cars and pedestrians together, especially little pedestrians, it is a little bit of a risk. Now, the other thing that I know I've noticed when I've been here is, I wouldn't say it's as you come into the roads, the hills that you've spoken about, I had somebody slam their brakes on behind me because I stopped to give way to the car who had right of way coming towards me. Chicanes can work, but if chicanes are something you're thinking of, I would recommend you going and looking and sitting in a road with them for a little while, probably buses. Because my experience of chicanes hasn't been good, and I have schools that have chicanes in front of them, two schools with a petrol station in between them on a very straight bit of road with chicanes, and it's like a give and take racetrack. It can work, but your parked cars are doing exactly what chicanes would do. So have a look at parked cars, give it that 3 months. And the other thing is rumble strips. If you would, as a residence group, like rumble strips, I would recommend that you go and have a drink in Amberley Village, because they had rumble strips put down, and they've been fighting now for the last 18 months to have them taken up, because you can hear them over half a mile away.
Yeah.
And they are great. They are very, very good at reminding people something's coming, slow down. As residents, they will blight your life. I wouldn't have them outside my house. Sorry, can I have a lady here?
I've got this lady here, and then I've got a lady here, and then I have to. So, lady here. Two comments rather than a question, yes. You said about the walking bus, and that there was a lack of interest in people to police it, if you like. I think that goes back to something somebody else said earlier, that a lot of parents work, so it's hard to do walking bus, yes, because they've got to drop their children off and go straight to work.
If you have a big enough pool of volunteer parents, you just need one cool person to work out who can do what. Mm. It's doable, but you need a committed person to lead on it. And the school do not have the time or resource to do it for them.
My other comment was the gentleman said about putting all yellow lines in. I can appreciate what you're saying about parking on the bends and that, but because it's a residential road and because we have shared driveways, if you put too many yellow lines in, the residents can't have the park. So then they're going to be parking at other people's roads and causing the care and toilet areas. So I don't know what the solution is, but that was just a comment.
Give it 3 months. The school is back next week. This one opens. The contractors have gone, and they were an enormous problem. Give it the 3 months, and then, you know, I'm more than happy for anybody to contact me if they have.
It's called the new car park here. Is that the London lead as well?
Yes. Yes.
It's
extra
park.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that for staff?
It's the staff and our people, but they have extra parties, and a number of them are extra. I don't know exactly how much it is.
So, could you just make a comment about the barrier being closed when guests come in? So,
if people are parking these to drop their children off. The short term visitor parking, I believe, is the front paddies. I'm sure that's what I said on the last panels I saw. There are visitor parking at the back and at the front. If you're coming in as a visitor, which, you know, most of you wouldn't be, but if you were, then you might have to wait for someone to stop the pedestrian movement for you to leave the car park. It's not okay. The barrier will stay down and it will stop people coming and going freely. So the path has right of way over the
side. So you can go in freely.
You would have to wait for someone to raise a barrier. Because it's not an automatic barrier.
If you're sending out a newsletter to London League and this school, would you please ask them very nicely if they would consider stopping at some point to allow a resident to actually pull out of their driveway to be able to go to work?
I can sit
in my driveway for ages. And I do know a lot of mums at London Mead, and it's only when one of them come up, they see me trying to get out, they will stop and allow me to go to work.
It's one of the things I'll address in the poster competition as well.
And I don't think there's enough publicity about the walking buses. I feel sure if you did an article on it in our local paper that everybody can read, it will get things moving.
I'm more than happy to do that because you're not the only school in Burgess Hill that's suffering from lack of one.
I've got the gentleman at the back, and I seem to have lost that.
Unfortunately, it's beating parents to slow down at school times and asking other drivers to be more inconsiderate around their area, which is slightly
awkward.
I've got a gentleman at the back here, and
I'm very much. My comment was, talking about drop-off times in the morning, but in the afternoon, it's even a bigger problem, because there's two let-out times for the school.
Yes.
So if a person's got two children there, they come about quarter to three, but it's still there, half past three.
Yeah.
So the whole lot seizes up 3/4 of an hour. Now, I don't know what the answer is. And on top of that, children, the teachers don't want to let them out on time.
No.
They might let them out early, might let them out late. If it was always one time, you could guarantee you'd be in and out a bit quicker.
I don't know any school where children come out at the right time.
So I don't know what the answer is, but the point
the
is they're going to be we
as
living in You can't move in the afternoon. You know it's not going to be short term like it is in the morning. In the afternoon, you've got a big window.
Yes. You're quite right. And the answer then is
for
someone to come back to
it before a drive.
That's where
operational
crackdown
for the
police
report. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be better if all the children all come out at the same time?
Not
at
the
same time.
There are 1,200 on that side, 130 here, and
I'm not
talking
about
my school,
they'll take all underneath from that. They don't need tunnels, they can't do that.
I know the school is looking at timings, and it's something that did come up in the meeting. Whether they would make any difference, because even if the whole school came out at 3:15, you're reliant on the teachers actually letting them out the door at that time.
What time is Woodland Mead school day?
I think it's 9:30. Doors open at 5:30, and then the school starts
school day starts at, got me into class then for 20 past 9,
yeah.
And then the school day finishes at 4:15, so there's rather a large window at the end of the school day for Woodlands meeting, considering there's going to be loads of taxis and...
I mean, the taxis will be an issue. Previously, I've worked with other schools where taxis have got an early. This site is, there is a lot of on-site parking here now that wasn't there previously. So the first 3 months of the opening, we'll be watching, monitoring, and if we need to talk to taxi drivers who get here too early, we will.
We can control the taxi driver. The taxi drivers actually work for the county council. So if that goes wrong, we can talk to them and talk to them as a couch. But this school is going to, there are children who go to that school and come to this school as well, in the same taxi. They will be allowed to come in. This school will open for those children early so that it's only one journey and that taxi doesn't have to wait. There should be no taxis having to wait. The children will be allowed to London Mead and into this school in one journey and then straight out. So that's the important part.
So, gentlemen, the white shirt, what do you say?
I'm not here to talk about this, I am. The answer to your question is the younger children, they have a shorter school day. They can't legally not have to get in. So that's why there's that.
I mean, outside every school, and I have 93 once this one opens that I look after, parents talking has a knock-on effect. And we don't want parents not to socialise. What we'd like them to do is socialise here at Queen's Crescent car park. Or, you know, just move them away a little bit. So we will be monitoring it really, really hard for the first 3 months. That gives us up till Christmas, and by then we've got nice weather, we've got bad weather, we can compare the differences between the two. We'll have another walk to school week in that period in October. And walk to school weeks, for those who don't know, are a national week where schools focus on travelling sustainably. If you live too far away to walk, you're encouraged to park away and walk the last part, or car share, or scoot, which is always a bone of contention when they hit your ankles. But they're, you know, anything that gets them out of a car as an individual traveller, we will try and push for them. But until this opens, we are not going to have a real view of the impact to you. And we do ask for your patience. I mean, I am more than happy for anybody to take my contact details, and if you've got a problem, to drop me an email or let me know. But as a group, this is a really, really good turnout, and you care about your area. What we need to do now is feed that back into the schools so that they can start being a little bit more inconsiderate around your area. Not inconsiderate.
Well, she was right the first time.
Maybe that's the opposite. Yeah. Maybe they'll be as bad as they can, and they'll be really guilty about it. But, you know, it is a... With any school, you are working with a huge amount of different factors, with parents, with, you know, people digging up the road one way so they've had to come round another way, with the bus turning up. You know, it'll be really interesting, and I will ask Countryliner just what their figures are along that route. If the figures for pickups at school time are not good, is there an option to route it so it's not coming up Chancery Road at that time?
You know, it's to get those figures, so we have to be careful because we don't want to go.
We don't want to take it away. We don't want to take it away. What we need to do, though, is it is something that has been raised multiple times coming across the bus. If it's not picking anybody up at that time in this road, why can't one journey be rerouted?
Because
We've done it in other places with bin lorries that pick up at school, pick up and drop off times. Always a good one. In my area, we all have wheelie bins, which people put in the road, which takes all the parking. So you have people parking the other side of the bin. You know, if you've got a wheelie bin, please leave it somewhere considerate. Yeah. You know, it is a big, big challenge to get schools to work together with their communities. And it is one that we are working on for everybody's behalf. And as I say, if anybody has any problems, do contact me. If you have a near miss and you're not sure where to send it, send it to me and I'll forward it on to Google. And
what's your name?
Anybody who wants it, do come see me in the end. I've got a pen and a bit of paper and I'll write it out lots and lots of times. Because it's not spent.
It's not stolen anything.
But, you know, we do take your problem seriously. We desperately need you to give us 3 months. I know you have gone through absolute hell in the last year that I've been working in this area. Because this is the reason I'm here. I work term time only. I'm not back at work till next week. But I'm here this evening. Because I actually care about what I do. So if you've got any comments, you know, think about them afterwards. I know when I go to meetings, you walk away and you think, I should have asked that. Again, either forward it to me or any of the team here, and we can do our very best to answer them. Thank you. Any more questions?
I've got a nice at the back.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ella. Apologies if I go over anything that you've already done. I was in a previous meeting, so I do apologise for that. There is a question at the end of it, but what I would say is that I'm a governor down at Shedley, outside of the town, as you well know. What happens down there, because I see the area very, very similar to the situation that we have here in Chainsbury Road, and I'm a resident on Chainsbury Road for more years than I care to remember it. But what happens there is that the school does work with residents, as it does with the parents. And if there is an issue as far as car parking, the drop-off is concerned, if parents are inconsiderate as far as parking across people's driveways is concerned, then the residents have the confidence. It doesn't happen now because everyone's become educated to it. That, you know, if there's a complaint because someone's parking across someone's drive, the resident will get in touch with the school, and the headmaster will say, well, if you can take the registration number down, please, I'll have a word with the parents. And he does. And I wouldn't say it's a universal solution, but it actually works very well. And there is a bus route there as well, and there are yellow lines, and as I say, I see a lot of similarities there. The issue as far as accidents on Chanctonbury Road is concerned, well, I can go back probably a lot further than a lot of people and say that in 1983, my memory goes after a bit, that there were still accidents going on down there because I know I had someone take the front of the car off, not on this stretch, but the stretch at the top. So accidents do happen. It wasn't the life-threatening accident, but these things do happen. So the gentleman that's just sitting here, so. The question is, does CASPA still work if we're talking about speeding cars? Is CASPA still going around? Does anyone know about that?
CASPA is only CASPA.
Sorry,
yeah,
definitely.
CASPA only works in Crawley, but we have a system here that we actually pay for as a CLC. We have actually got a system here that we pay for as a CLC. Unfortunately, because we have the 20 mile an hour, nobody's allowed it to come back here. It has been asked for here on a number of occasions, but it hasn't been allowed to come back because this road isn't as bad as some other roads.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we will get it back.
I think
there's been three voting members here. We're definitely going to get it back.
It's called a CID.
One of those things that flashes at you. It's about an hour's early, it flashes at you. We have had it here once, we did that in the beginning. But it's now in Rose where it's worse than here. But I think after tonight, there's three county council members here. We've all heard what you've got to say. I don't think I'll have much problem getting it back. But it may take some time.
Ours is broken and we'll try and get another one.
It's broken? let's, you know, I think lots of things have been put in place, and let's hope they will work. I think there is certainly a dedication and commitment from the school and from the county officers to make it work. So thank you for coming to see us.